Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you today?
Well, we are officially out of the playoffs, so I'm not sure if I'm going to say I'm good. I'm not sure if I'm going to say I'm bad. I'm breathing.
I'm excellent. It's a relief, honestly. It's like the slow pain of the last 3 weeks is finally over. I can look forward to off-season things like the draft, which I love. Free agency, which they probably won't do a darn thing.
Nope.
And hopefully retention of some of their key guys coming back next year.
Yeah, I'd love to see one of our buddies hang in there this year, if you know what I mean. Bud Dupree.
Yeah, that would be clutch.
Very clutch. So week 17 was obviously against the Baltimore Ravens, but before that, we did have some roster moves. James, I think you have most of those.
Yeah, I've got it all written down here. So we've got Mason Rudolph had a significant shoulder injury, enough that it required surgery. I actually heard somebody say something about there was a chance of him actually having some serious injury as far as like an aortic valve or something. I guess it was pretty serious where the injury was in his shoulder. Anyway, he went to the IR, so he'll be available next year. With that move, they brought up J.C. Hassenauer from the practice squad. That was due to Pouncey's knee being injured badly enough that they assumed he would not be able to play. Which was the case. They signed JT Barrett, the former Ohio State quarterback, to the practice squad. So he'll be available next year due to that signing. And then shortly after all those moves, there was the very fun family photo of Ben Roethlisberger. They're all wearing matching outfits. I don't know if you saw that, Cody.
I did see that. It was cringeworthy, but also adorable.
Well, I took two things away from it. Number one, he's nowhere near as fat as people are saying he is. You can't really hide it in a Christmas pajama outfit like that. Second off, they made sure to have a nice Christmas, wishing everyone a happy Christmas. And then at the end, he dispelled the rumors saying that he was thinking about not playing next year and promised that he would be back and better than ever. So anybody that tells you Ben's not coming back next year, he's not sure if he's going to come back, you can just put your finger to your lips and tell him, shh.
I like the visualization you used.
So after that, we had some more moves. Safety Trey Matthews was added to the practice squad. That was from a previous move when Marcus Allen was brought up to the 53 after Cam Kelly decided to be an idiot. Cam Hayward was awarded the team's chief award. This is for being most available to the press. After every game, you always saw interviews. He always talked about how they had to do better, wasn't acceptable as far as their performance, that sort of thing. TJ Watt won the team MVP. No surprise.
No surprise at all. Watt had a phenomenal year. Now broke his record for most sacks in a season for himself personally, and had two picks and just was a phenomenal player.
Yeah, it's going to be all tough around for him to keep on one-upping himself, honestly.
I mean, I'm okay if he does. Yeah. That's the goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
TJ, listen up. You got to have 25 sacks next year.
Holy crap, man.
And 7 picks.
That would be a record.
It would be. But I'd yeah, you're right. Maybe not that many. Let's go with 18.
I think if he does 16, it's a killer season.
Yeah, but he's got to be better than last year.
Yeah, it would be.
16?
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. Never mind.
Get your Madden stats out of your head, bro.
I know. And we need to get, as a team, 60 sacks next year so we can shave our heads.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in on that again. That's going to be a reoccurring bet till that happens. Devin Bush got himself Rookie of the Year award for the Steelers team. Some people thought Deontay Johnson should have been in the running for it. I'm sure he was.
It would have been close. Devin Bush had a more consistent year. Deontay flared very well at the end of the year.
And I think it was like kind of polar opposites. Beginning of the year, Devin Bush was an absolute killer. He was all over the place, getting interceptions, forcing fumbles. And then the second half of the year, it was more just getting a lot of tackles, not making the splash plays. And that's when Deontay Johnson came on more. So kind of a little bit of both. I think they recognized and wanted to encourage Devin Bush for next year. I'm okay with it. That's not a bad move.
Yeah, totally fine.
Last note was that Rosie Nix and Ryan Switzer were designated to return from the injured reserve. That was just in case a miracle happened and the Steelers somehow made it into the playoffs. I think we know that's not going to happen.
Spoiler alert, we didn't.
We kind of spoiled that already in the pregame show.
But we played the Baltimore Ravens. We had our rivalry game. I feel like week 17 for a while has either been playing against a division rival, which is very, a very big thing for them to get more views, because if you're watching if you have a game on at the end of the year, it's unnecessary to play off anything. No one's going to watch it, or there's going to be less people watching it, I should say. So we played the Ravens in Baltimore. It was a rainy mess, to say the least.
Yeah, it just got worse as the game went on, too. Yeah, just it started off rainy, and then it just got the awful rainy and sloppy and people sliding around.
I got excited because it reminded me of the game that James Harrison had, like those five turnovers in one game when it was raining in Pittsburgh.
He was playing special teams back then.
He was. He wasn't even he hadn't won a Super Bowl yet or returned a 101-yard interception for a touchdown against the Cardinals.
I remember he hit somebody on kick coverage so
the
hard.
The ball went so high.
Yeah, that was awesome.
So we played Baltimore in Baltimore. As you guys are probably aware of already, the Ravens sat, I want to say, seven starters overall. They sat Lamar Jackson. They sat their running back, Mark Ingram. They sat some of the offensive linemen.
Yeah, I think it was the left tackle and the right guard, maybe.
Yeah, so we were playing a backup team, basically a practice team. Not a practice squad team, let's clarify, but like the backups. And we still somehow could not stop the run. But before we go too far, we're going to break it down just like we did last week, positionally. So quarterbacks, Devlin Hodges got the start this week. What do you think of his performance as far as quarterback is concerned?
That sums it up. That's where I'm at with it. I mean, he wasn't god-awful in the first half. It got worse as the game went on. I think a lot of it was protection. The offensive line did not do him any favors. The receivers dropped a few passes. I remember at least three or four of them. And just overall, he was unable to complete the ball down the field. There was a couple of your 10 to 15 yarders, but he didn't connect on any deep balls. Just struggled to get any consistency going. And very difficult to win when you average 10 points a game in the final three games.
Yeah, some would say that quarterbacks lose their swagger as the season goes on or something like that. I would say that Hodges lost his quack this year.
he was not flying high at the end of the season.
No, not at all. So had some couple passes that were iffy. He's obviously not the future of the franchise. Tomlin has already announced, spoiler, that Mason Rudolph will be the backup for Ben Roethlisberger next year. We'll see what happens with the draft. Maybe they draft a quarterback. Maybe they don't. Maybe they do something with free agency. People are talking about Teddy Bridgewater. I don't see it happening. I wouldn't be upset if it did. But we'll have to see what happens with that. Devlin Hodges did not have a good game. The running backs, on the other hand, Benny Snell.
Benny Snell was a monster in this game. And I was calling for, after the last game, we were really hoping. We knew that Connor wasn't going to be able to go. Unfortunately, he had that thigh injury. It was just too bad for him to be able to come back in 1 week. I was saying that I really wanted to see Benny Snell get the bulk of the carries because he seems to be one of those guys that when he gets a bunch of carries, he gets in a rhythm and he runs well. Imagine that. That's exactly what he did. He got 91 yards. I think he almost averaged 6 yards a carry.
Yeah.
It was like
five, six, or five, seven.
I don't know. I just like to study people. You know, Snell seems to be the kind of guy that could be a feature back on a team. I think we're actually going to see a little bit of a competition next year between him and Connor. I mean, Connor's still on his rookie deal. He's not going anywhere. He'll be back next season. So you're going to have the same running back group, I think, as we've got right now next year. Not all those guys are going to be on the team. They don't ever carry this many. The only reason there's this many running backs on the team right now is just because of all the injuries this year. Connor missed time. Samuels missed time. Snell missed time. All of them with significant injuries that missed 4 weeks or more. Next year, it's going to be right back down to your three or four guys, and I won't be surprised if we're minus Jalen Samuels.
Yeah, I won't be surprised if we lose Jalen Samuels. I obviously won't be surprised if we lose Trey Edmonds. I think Kareth White proved enough to come back and at least be there for preseason and give them a practice squad kind of look. We'll see what happens with Kareth White. I enjoyed watching him run. He's definitely quicker than most of our other running backs and still ran with a decent amount of power that he didn't just hit the first guy and fall over, even being as small as he was. So we'll have to see what goes on there. Jalen Samuels, as we discussed before the show, just a liability.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's not giving you much right now at all. His specialty is receiving. They didn't use him as a receiver at all. So he was in there on third downs when they were blitzing and just could not identify the blitzer. constantly. He's looking inside when the blitz is coming on the outside. People are coming through and hitting Hodges from everywhere. Poor guy didn't really have much of a chance because the blitz pickup was just awful. And one of the most important positions at that is your running back. If he's in there, he's the personal protector to the quarterback. If he can't identify where the blitz is coming from, you got to move on. You can't just keep on, because what happens if he's doing that next year with Ben? Ben comes back from his injury to his elbow and he's got Jalen Samuels who can't block anybody. Forget it. He's not going to play anymore after that. He's not going to want to.
No, offensive line is already deteriorating from where it used to be when Ben would have Pro Bowl seasons and even Super Bowl seasons. He's not going to stay around long anyways, but especially if he can't get blocking, why stay and take the damage to your body when there's no point at that point?
Yeah, and I'm with you on Kareth White. I think, honestly, it's going to be difficult for somebody to take his job next year. I think where I'm at right now, Connor's still on the rookie deal, so he doesn't count much against the cap. He's coming back, period. Plus, honestly, when he's healthy, he's a really good back. Snell has shown that he can also put some really good games together, and against the Baltimore Ravens defense that was only missing two starters. One of them was Earl Thomas. That doesn't really affect the run defense that much. So he ran very well against a tough Ravens defense. Kareth White showed that he's got the burst to make some plays on offense and really was excellent in kick return, I thought, in comparison to what we've been used to anyway. We're just used to guys that you're lucky if they make it to the 20-yard line, and now you're looking at someone who could break it every time, and when somebody tries to tackle him on kick return, he can actually break some tackles. That's a welcome change. So I think your top three are going to be Connor, Snell, and Kareth White, and I think it's going to be kind of a free-for-all after that.
Yep. So I would say we could talk about fullback, but we didn't have a fullback this game.
No, like most of the year.
Most of the year. Tight ends, we didn't see a whole lot of Zach Gentry or Nick Vannett.
No, Gentry was inactive again this game, so you only had Vannett and McDonald, and I think McDonald had, what, one or two catches?
Yeah.
Nothing crazy in the game. That's kind of the way the season's gone. They have not utilized the tight ends. They've got to figure that out next year. Otherwise, when you drop back to pass, they know to only look after your wide receivers and your running backs, and your running backs are basically just a drop-off. So it makes it really easy for defenses to cover you when they know you're never going to throw to the tight end.
Yeah, which, like we've discussed in the past on other shows, that's where we typically do the most damage, is when we get our tight ends involved, open up the field for those wide receivers. That's typically when we see those high passing yards types of games. But going on to the wide receivers, we got Juju more involved than I think we had throughout most of the season. Deontay Johnson had a fairly decent game, making a couple good catches. James Washington was a hit or miss this game. I can't honestly think of a specific play where I was like, oh yeah, James Washington. And other than that, the best play I think we got out of a wide receiver most of the game was Johnny Holton on the punt that we got them pinned back inside their own 2 or 3 yard line. I think that was the best play we got from a wide receiver freaking game.
Yeah, honestly, Deontay didn't have a bad game in my opinion, but the rest of them were pretty inconsequential. So how do you go through a game? James Washington with no catches, Juju with 2 for what, 6 yards was it? That's,
yep.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, that's what happens when you only complete 9 passes, I guess. I mean, on 9 of 25, who's going to have a good game? So, yeah, just
the just, defense.
Yeah, the defense. That's it, but not your wide receivers. Speaking of bad games, how about Ramon Foster, huh? He's starting to look like he's just in the wrong sport.
Listen, I think I'm trying to be respectful here, but I think my grandma could run faster than him and move faster than him on the line, probably. I don't know.
I feel like there's a Japanese sport that he might do well in.
Do they slap their knees a lot?
Yes.
Oh, sumo, okay.
Yes, that's the one. That's the one where you just one-on-one, you move people, and you don't have to deal with lateral movement much. And
I think he'd still get beat there.
Oh, he probably would. Yeah, it's time for him to retire, unfortunately. He sounded dejected after the game. He was being interviewed, and he said, I don't want them to waste my time. Honestly, I feel like Foster's time is over. He's going into his last year of his deal next year. And if they release him, they save almost $5 million against the cap.
If the performance wasn't bad enough to release him, the attitude is, period.
Yeah, and he was always a team leader. He was the representative to the union. But it's time to move on because, unfortunately, people are running right by him, and he can't even slow him down. That's a big issue at guard, because then people are coming right up the middle, and again, that's not giving your quarterback a chance.
Nope, that's how Devlin Hodges got sacked it for a fumble, because he had a blitz come that he couldn't pick up, left the defensive back run right past him, sacked Devlin Hodges for a fumble, Jalen Samuels couldn't get on it, turnover right there.
Yeah, and he couldn't even slow the guy down. Two defensive backs hit the hole. One of them hit first and then backed off. He was unable to peel off of that and get the second one. Didn't even slow him down, unfortunately, which is bad news for Devlin, because if a DB's coming through that hole, he's coming fast. It didn't give him any time to adjust to it. The rest of the offensive line I didn't think did as bad. Really, the worst part was blitz pickup, and I thought the biggest failures on blitz pickup was Ramon Foster and the running backs just not picking it up. I think next year I would like to see personally them take Matt Filer, move him inside to left guard where he's best, and then look at other options as far as right tackle. Maybe you'll allow Zach Banner the opportunity. He's got a huge frame. He may be able to play at right tackle. We'll see in the preseason, I'm sure. Chukwuma Okorafor still on the roster. Just barely lost out to Filer to that job last year. So I think one of the two of them may end up being your starting right tackle next year, but I really do hope in the draft they look to get some more depth here, because you're going to lose Finney most likely. So you really need to consider some offensive line depth, especially on the interior. Pouncey and DeCastro are getting older. Foster likely to be gone. Finney's deal's up after this year, and I don't think they're going to be able to afford to re-sign him. I think somebody's going to offer him a lot more money than Pittsburgh can. So you got to do something, and you can juggle what's on the roster right now and still get away with it, but it can't come back the same next year. It's got to be different.
No, and I think, not to talk too much about the draft, because we will have episodes on the draft. I think in the draft we either have to pick up someone who's very versatile and has played multiple positions on the O-line, or we need to do something to get some kind of all-star at one position, whether it be left guard or right tackle. But our O-line is getting older. In 5 years, it's going to be a whole different switch, probably even less than that.
Yep.
There's going to be a whole different group of guys. And prepare yourself, Steeler fans, because here's the thing. Our O-line is aging. Our quarterback has 1, maybe 2 years left. We're going to go through a transition phase, and it's not going to be fun.
And that's why it's important to get the right people in place now. If they can get a few young offensive linemen that they can count on in the future, I mean, Okorafor is only like 22, 23. I think Zach Banner's about 24. If those are two of your pieces, then you just need the interior guys.
Yep.
But they've got to start investing in it. You need to take picks, you know, third, fourth round and higher if you were going to consider them to be possible starters in the future. You can't just take sixth and seventh round guys and hope they're going to develop. Some do, but most don't.
So let's turn over to the other side of the ball, defense, defensive line. Other than Cam Hayward getting to the quarterback, technically one time, it was twice, but they're both half sacks. Our D line didn't do a whole lot this game.
No, really, they kind of struggled against the run more than anything. I thought they got decent pressure against the quarterback. Isaiah Bugs got some decent playing time and actually made a couple plays in the game. I'm looking forward to seeing him get a little bit more in the future. But, yeah, other than Cam Hayward, I would say the rest of them struggled. And that's going to be another position where there's some transition going into next year. You don't have Javon Hargrave under contract next year, and I don't believe Daniel McCullers is either. So you technically don't really have anyone at the defensive tackle position. I think defensive end, you've already got the four guys coming back on the roster already, but really tough to see what's going to happen there. I would like to note, with that one sack out of the two half sacks combined, that does move Cameron Hayward in the all-time list. That'll take him from seventh to sixth place. He just passed Greg Lloyd. He's got 54 in his career as a Steeler now.
Nice. Well, congratulations, Cam Hayward. It's about the best thing we got for the D-line to talk about.
That is. Next year it'll be better if Tua can stay healthy. It's going to be exciting to see what they do as far as D-tackle.
Yep.
It's a complete question mark right now. We have no idea what they're going to do. On to the linebackers. You did see some decent play a little bit as far as chasing the quarterback, whether it was the run or the pass.
Yep.
An interesting strategy on this one. I've seen it. Honestly, it's the strategy if I were a coach, I would go with. If you want to stop somebody from running the option offense against you, whoever the free person is that has to make the decision, you've got two choices. Either you can have him stand there and chop his feet and try to defend it no matter how it goes, or you can just send them like a wild animal after the quarterback every time and force the decision. That way they can't run it out. They can't string it out all the way to the end and put you in a questionable position. The running back's got the ball. The option play is over. It's just a run now. That's the route that Pittsburgh chose on this game. No matter which side it was, if it was T.J. Watt or Bud Dupree, it was go hit the quarterback every time. I don't hate the strategy because, honestly, it forces their hand. And most teams aren't going to want to see their quarterback get hit like that for an entire season. And then they'll change the way they do things, and then you don't have to defend it as much.
Yep. So we saw T.J. do very well as well, getting to the quarterback. Other than just forcing the ball, he did have, I believe, two sacks on the game.
Yeah, two half sacks.
Two half sacks again. So it was a great game for our linebackers in the sense of getting to the quarterback, applying pressure.
No, one half sack. I'm sorry.
One half sack.
Yeah.
But other than that, Mark Barron, again, looked lackadaisical at best. Didn't see a whole lot. Took some bad angles. He did. He took horrible angles that we've been seeing all year. I don't know. Devin Bush had a decent game. He was out of place a couple times where he could have made a play but didn't make a play. T.J. Watt obviously had the one forced fumble where he punched the ball out. That was phenomenal. Almost did it to RG3 as well. Wound up punching him in the arm. Really good hit. But other than that, that was it for the linebackers. Didn't see a whole lot other than that. They played well. Could have played a lot better. I don't know.
Yeah, Devin Bush ended up leading the team in tackles, so that's notable for sure. But, yeah, we didn't get the splash plays we were hoping for. T.J., of course, forced that sack, forced that fumble, which was his eighth on the season. It's incredible, 8 forced fumbles in one season. On to the secondary. You did get an interception from Joe Haden.
It just happened to be with 24 seconds left when there was no reason to do anything about it.
So it didn't really benefit Pittsburgh in any way. It definitely benefits Joe Haden, pads his career stats a little bit, makes him feel good going into next year. Had a strong end of the year, honestly. He had 4 picks in, the last 4 or 5 games. So
yeah,
that's
this
strong.
One I wouldn't count. I mean, it counts as an interception, but the ball landed on his chest. He basically just had to hug it.
Yeah, I mean, he made the play, though. That's put himself true. In position.
He did.
So, yeah, it's his. They can't take that away.
Nope. Terrell Edmonds, we saw a lot of missed opportunities here, a lot of missed tackles that I've seen. Something that I've seen consistently with our secondary as a whole is just the lack of understanding that when someone is attempting to wrap up the ball carrier, you can still go in and hit them and wrap up as well. That's called an assisted tackle, and you want to get those if you didn't know. We saw it on the touchdown run in this game. Terrell Edmonds missed the tackle. Cam Hayward then missed the tackle, and Steven Nelson basically just stared the guy until Cam Hayward let him go and then tried to make the tackle. At that point, it was too late. The ball carrier had momentum again, pushed himself into the end zone. Overall, Minka came in and did very well this year. A little bit of a slower time late in the year, but he started off very well. I don't expect him to slow down next year. I expect to see better play out of him because he'll be in the system longer. We'll see what happens with him. Terrell Edmonds, I think he's a weakness on our defense. I don't think I see a change coming next year. Maybe the year after, but I think he starts again next year. And then we'll have to see, does Joe Haden come back or does he retire? I think he's going to come back. It's a matter of whether or not we sign him. And then I also think Steven Nelson's obviously still with us. And then Justin Lane, dude, does he get some extra playing time next year?
I think Justin Lane's going to get a lot more time next year. Don't forget, Joe Haden did get that extension. So we've got him 2 more years. So he's not going anywhere. I think you're right on with Terrell Edmonds. Right now, of even when you go down to the top 5 guys with Mike Hilton being the nickelback, Terrell Edmonds is the weak leak. He's a good tackler most of the time. But he's not making any plays as far as breaking up passes and intercepting it. I mean, he's got as many interceptions for his career as his brother does, and he's a running back. So that's bad. You know, you got to get a little bit more when you're a starting safety. You ought to, just out of sheer luck, get 2 or 3, I would think. But consistently, that's not been the case. So I look for them to do something at that position. Right now, going into next year, You're just looking at Fitzpatrick, Terrell Edmonds, Marcus Allen, who wasn't on the team most of the year until the very end when Cameron Kelly got in himself into trouble with the law. And then Jordan Dangerfield, who has never been anything significant and I think is dang near 30 years old. I don't know if they're going to add a safety this year because it won't be someone that's going to start. But if they don't, it'll definitely be soon. So I would expect to see him move, not this upcoming draft class, but the one after, with the hope of having a new starting strong safety next to Minkah Fitzpatrick.
So that's it for the secondary. As far as special teams go, we discussed the play by Johnny Holton. And other than that, special teams didn't do a whole lot.
There was one play where they pinned him inside the 1 yard line. Yeah. That was excellent coverage on the punt coverage unit. There was also a play on the flip side of it where Jordan Berry botched the punt completely. Couldn't catch it, tried to punch it away to get it out of bounds, ended up getting recovered by the defense, and that was, it's about as ugly as it gets when you can't even get the punt off.
No. So he's going to be gone next year, or at least he better be.
I would think so, honestly. He was great up until about week 13, 14. Then he fell apart. Started having 20-yard punts and 30-yard punts. I mean, I can do that.
Yeah.
And I don't have a good leg.
I think it's even a little bit more different because the moment we talked about this, I thought about, Boswell last year having a horrible season, and then we kept him and showed that we still had faith in him. I just think this is different. This is putting your defense in horrible positions. Missed field goals doesn't put your defense in bad positions. It sucks for your offense and for scoring points. But this is horrible, horrible situational.
This literally put points defense on the board for the other team.
Literally.
Literally. So, I think you have to make a move there. I think this is going to be his last year with the team. They will definitely bring in some good competition for him. I thought Ian Berryman really pushed him last year, but I won't be surprised if somebody beats him out this upcoming season. Not too bad from Chris Boswell this year, huh?
No, Bos is the president, officially.
29 of 31 on the year. He only missed two field goals all season long. One was 54 yards, and he just barely missed it. The other one was a botched snap that they barely got the kickoff. Made every other kick. That's incredible coming off a guy that missed, eight field goals last year? Seven or eight. It was a lot.
And a couple extra points.
Yeah, so incredible bounce back year for Chris Boswell. Look forward to seeing how he does next year. He might even get himself in a Pro Bowl. He keeps this up.
Yeah. As far as kick return, we saw a drastic improvement at punt return with the switch from Ryan Switzer to Deontay Johnson. We have a special teams touchdown. Holy crap. And we didn't kick a Browns player in the helmet.
That's nice.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing it. But we got a touchdown. Other than that, on kickoff return, Kareth White came in at the end of the year and did very, very well.
Yeah,
I'm super excited.
And noteworthy also on special teams, Tyler Matakevich, since he entered the NFL, he leads the entire NFL in special teams tackles.
Oh, and you're telling me that he didn't make the Pro Bowl? Surprise,
he did
surprise.
Not. No. Unfortunately, it's a popularity contest, and he doesn't have the correct last name to go in. But that's the way that works in the NFL. He's actually an unrestricted free agent, too. I don't know that he'll be back.
That's really sad. I will say this, as we're talking about Pro Bowl real fast, we're NFL fans just as much as we are Steelers fans. Maybe not just as much, but we're diehard Steelers fans. We enjoy watching NFL games. We'll be watching the playoffs. I will say this. I'm very mad at the NFL for not allowing Taysom Hill to even have a ballot in the Pro Bowl. They didn't even know what position to put him in, so they didn't put him in at all.
I didn't hear about this, I'll be honest.
Yeah, Taysom Hill, the phenomenal player for the New Orleans Saints, couldn't even get voted for to go in the Pro Bowl because they didn't put him in any position because he played quarterback, tight end, running back, and kick returner. So they just didn't put him in at all.
Now, I got to ask you, what position would you have voted him for?
All the above, except quarterback. I wouldn't have voted him at quarterback.
What were his running stats on the season?
That's fair.
Okay.
It's the fact that he was an all-around player. Even special teams.
I'm not going to argue with the fact that he is a very exciting player. I enjoy watching Taysom Hill play, but you got to have one position that you excel at. Maybe it's special teams. I don't know. I don't watch him on special teams. I enjoy watching him run the ball, throw the ball, catch the ball. He's a very exciting player, but you do need to have one thing that you can be voted in for.
That's fair. I'll shut up now.
Hey, post game, we've got some more stuff to talk about here. I don't know what I want to talk about that anymore as far as our game. So the Steelers end up with the 18th pick in the NFL draft. Not in the first round, but in the second round. So that's where you'll see them pick. I think that puts them at number 50 overall. So that's where you'll see them. Also notable this year, Pittsburgh had zero touchdowns on their opening drive. That's the only team in the NFL. Everyone else scored at least one touchdown on their opening drive.
Even the Miami Dolphins.
Even the Dolphins. Even the Bengals.
That's horrible.
They never hit 28 points.
I think the Bengals scored on their first drive against us once.
Probably, yeah.
Wow. It's sad. It was a sad year for Steelers fans.
Yeah. Now, on the flip side, this is the third straight year that the Steelers led the NFL in sacks.
I'll take it.
54 sacks this year. That's an impressive number. They've been hovering right around there. I think last year was 56. 55
or 56, yeah.
Year before was like 51 or 2, I think. So there's very impressive streak going on right now as far as the sacks. They already started with some transactions after the game. You saw Marcus Allen get re-signed for next year already. Tuzar Skipper got a 2-year deal.
Woo-hoo!
Which is awesome. Those of us that are big Tuzar Skipper fans, this could be bad news for Anthony Ciccolo. Mike Tomlin made sure to mention in his press conference on Tuesday that re-signing Bud Dupree is a top priority. They're going to try everything they can. And the pathway is there. If you release Mark Barron, Vance McDonald, I know that one's kind of questionable, Ramon Foster, and then Anthony Ciccolo, that frees up over $20 million in cap space. And you don't need that much to sign Bud Dupree.
I think the Vance thing just comes down, if you're not going to use him, why have him?
Yeah. And so, if you take Vance out of the equation, you're going to free up $14, $15 million. That's enough to sign him, most likely. If that's not enough, you only need a little bit more, which they can easily clear because they're going to be a few million under the cap. And then they'll give somebody an extension and restructure and save room that way. They always do. They also re-signed the entire practice squad, which is just standard operating procedure for this time of year. So you see JT Barrett, the new safety Matthews, wide receiver Jamal Custis, wide receiver Quadri Henderson, which was the kick return slash wide receiver from Pitt. Cornerback Alexander Myers, he tried out for the team this year. Running back Ralph Webb also tried out for the team this year, was on the practice squad most of the year. A fan favorite here, Christian Scotland Williamson.
CSW.
So he'll be back in his exemption as far as being able to be an additional person on the practice squad is now over. 2 years is all you get on that. So if he makes it next year, it's on his own accord. Also, offensive tackle Christian Delorio, who is a midseason add once they started getting some injuries on the offensive line. Offensive tackle Derwin Gray, who was a seventh-round pick last year, could see him develop into a possible reserve interior or exterior offensive line. Tight end Kevin Rader and defensive end Henry Mondo, who did show a little bit of pass rush ability in the preseason.
So, a lot of offseason moves. That's typical. You typically see teams sign their practice squad back onto the active roster for the offseason leading up into training camp and OTAs and preseason. So nothing crazy to talk about as far as roster moves other than what could happen. So we'll be excited to see what's going to go on in the near future.
Now, we've got a list here as well as far as restricted free agents, unrestricted and exclusive rights free agents. We might as well talk about that as well. Cody, do you want to lead us off on this?
Sure. So we'll go over unrestricted free agents first. You have BJ Finney, who is obviously our guard.
Gone.
Artie Burns.
Gone.
Artie packed his trash bag, literally. Ryan Shazier.
Which is a weird one. I think they can toll his contract and keep him again even if he can't play.
Bud Dupree. I think he's...
God, I hope they can get him back.
I hope they get him back. Sean Davis.
I think Sean's gone.
I think so as well. Javon Hargrave. Probably gone.
It'd be nice to keep him, but I think they look for somebody that's more of a pure run stopper.
Nick Vanette, I think it'd be weird to see him go. We traded for him this year. I wouldn't be shocked if he left. I'm not sure what we're doing with our tight end position right now.
If they can get him cheap, I'm all for bringing him back, but not at like $4 or $5 million a year. If you can get him back for $2 million a year or something like that,
yeah,
I'm all for it because you do need somebody who can catch the ball and knows the offense.
Yep. And then, of course, the long snapper, Cameron Kanade, he will be back.
Yeah, he'll be back. They'll sign him back. Then there's your restricted free agents. This means that the Steelers have to put a tender on him. Either as a second round a first round or just a right of first refusal. So you've seen Matt Filer on that. He will definitely get tagged. Mike Hilton, he will also get tagged. LT Walton, I don't know that he will, just because it's going to cost more money than they probably want to. And then the same with wide receiver Amara Darboh. So he also, I don't see them putting any sort of tag like that on him, because usually you have to put about $2 or $3 million on a one-year deal for that. And they're not going to do that with a fringe wide receiver that they don't know if they're going to keep. Last person on the list here, Tyler Matakevich, also an unrestricted free agent.
Yep.
So I don't know if they'll be able to bring him back or not. We did see some seriously nice special teams play from Robert Spillane late in the year.
We did. That's true. I forgot about him.
That's something to be said. He had a really good preseason last year, kind of a similar mold except a little more athletic. So I wouldn't be surprised if they move on from both Matakevich and Barron. You'll have Ulysses Gilbert III and Robert Spillane filling in next year, and you wouldn't even need to add anything to that room at that point.
True. Other than maybe something in the draft, we'll have to wait and see what happens there. So super excited about what the year is coming to. Obviously not excited about where we are now, you know, as far as not being in the playoffs. But with the way the year went, that's probably for the better, if we're being honest, get a slightly better draft pick for that second round pick and moving on in the draft. So this does put an end to our 2019 season as far as for the podcast. We will be starting the 2020 season in the sense of discussing off-season moves, free agency, NFL draft, doing draft prospects. We may or may not have some special guests on the show. We'll have to see going forward. Possibly even a big shout out right now to the man looking at us that gave us a shout out on his Instagram story, Jay the Rock, because that's your nickname.
Our in-house guest for in-house the day. Guest. Appreciate you being here for moral support.
Yep.
Kind of needed it after this season.
Yeah, we did. Absolutely. So thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Steelers by the Lake. Until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.